Joining us now, Leonard Lang, PhD. And I visited him with before about choosing a career. And I thought, you know, the holidays is a time when those kids that are senior in college come home, or some that are even graduating the semester break, and they're going, okay, game time now. Let's get into the real world, find out what we can do. And we just had Mark Porter on along those same lines where he said, you know what, I'm going to go down to Florida. I'm going to leave Minnesota, go down to Florida. You know, and we limit ourselves many times in what we think we can do because we forget that we live in the greatest country in the world and the opportunities are everywhere. But we begin to create these invisible fences around ourselves and don't follow dreams. And I would think that the holiday time is a time when parents and children and all those people get together and visit about things like that in some way, shape, or form. Leonard, first of all, happy holidays. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Max. Happy holidays to you. Thanks for having me back again. Good to be here.
Yeah, when you get a college senior, and let's just say they majored in business, and they don't really know what that means, and now they're trying to figure out, where do I take the skill set that I have, and maybe I'm not even aware of what my skill set really is. How do you walk them through that so that they pursue something that they'll enjoy?
Right. And I get that all the time, and particularly I find that college kids, like myself when I graduated college, didn't really know that much about how the world of work works, and know a bit about themselves, but maybe not as much as they think. So, yeah, to me, the first step is to get some kind of a vision for themselves, to get specific about it, and not just like, well, something in business, manager, or whatever like that. But to actually figure out where they want to go, otherwise they're going to go random places. The first job that comes up that sounds exciting for any reason or pays a lot is what they'll fall into. And those are the people I get in their 20s who come to me and say, hey, I goofed. I got into something just because it paid a lot. So we have to look first at what their vision is. And the first step in doing that is putting aside for now, for starters, questions about financial security, questions about even skill set. And first, figure out, well, what is it that you're doing with that degree? Why did you even get into that first? What are you passionate about? What are your values? Can't forget our values. What feels meaningful to you? Because if it doesn't feel meaningful, research has shown and logic shows us that it's not going to sustain us. So one of the biggest things I do with all clients, including the college seniors and whoever, is to get them to put aside all of their doubts and worries and fears of what is not possible, and to think of creating a career and shaping their job rather than thinking about, well, what slot do I fit best in given the skill set that I know I have? Sure, you need skills, absolutely, but that's not the first step. That's later on when we look at how do you achieve your vision. First, you got to figure out what your vision is.
You know, I remember taking a class on public relations in college thinking, well, that sounds like it'd be a fun field. And I remember taking that one course and going, I want nothing to do with this because I didn't understand what it really meant.
Right.
And that's where those elective courses can be so advantageous, not just in your major, but outside your major. Sample those things that you think might trigger you and find out if you really have a passion for it.
Absolutely. And with my clients, almost all my clients wind up doing informational interviews. Whether they think it's a great idea or a terrible idea, they usually wind up enjoying it. But if you once you graduated college, if shadowing people, talking to people about what they do, getting these more official or formal informational interviews are ways of finding out the nitty-gritty what those jobs are really like. What's the day-to-day like? Because I think that's the problem. We tend to think like, oh, I want to be whatever it is. I want to be a business manager. I want to be a carpenter. It doesn't matter. And you have a picture of what it's like. You've maybe done some little kind of activities like that, but you don't really know what the day-to-day is like. And when my clients finish doing a number of informational interviews, they often go like, that sounds great, or like, I didn't know the days were like that. I need something a little different. So I agree with you totally. It's important to get that nitty-gritty. But again, under this idea of this first part of finding your vision, you're doing that not to get discouraged and go like, oh, that'll take more schooling, I should never even think about it, or whatever might come up negatively, but to go like, oh, is that something I would like to do if I were able to do it? Just assume you're going to be able to do it, and later on we'll figure out how, but assume you're going to be able to do it in order to evaluate whether it is something you would want to keep doing, you would find meaningful, you would find exciting, you would find fits with your values.
Can I give you another sub-headline that I believe young people should know, and that is, following your passion doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And I say this because I think all generations, I don't think it's generational. They get into something that they kind of enjoy, and then it gets tough and they quit. Well, just because it's your passion or maybe it's even your God-given talents doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it will be worthwhile. How do you get them through that so that they don't develop the quitter's mentality?
That's an interesting question. To me, if it's something, and this is what we talk about, if you do get your vision, or when you do get that clear vision about what you want to do in a really clear picture, not again just some vague statement, but like I try and get my clients to just look about what that day looks like if they had it the way they wanted, so it's very clear vision of picturing that in their minds. But then if they do that, then it's something you want to work towards. That's the point. And even going through the process, I take them through a four-part process to get to that. When they go through the process, they see it's kind of fun, it's engaging, but it's also going to be work. And the other thing is to make work meaningful. That doesn't mean that you have every day is happy face and everything's fine and everybody's nice to you and everybody does exactly what you want and you do what they want and it's all great. That's not how it is. But if what you do feels like, yeah, I'm doing something I really feel is useful, is meaningful, has some impact, whatever it is you want to do, or part of that, and I'm doing my passions, then people stay engaged. You're in that state of flow that people talk about. And that's what sustains you, not that it's easy. Easy doesn't sustain you. If it's really easy all the time, you will get bored. And you can help people see that from their own lives, what really – and I work with this. I have people look at their touchstone experiences. Things that were like, yeah, that was a great day, that was a great period, that was a great project I was on. And they see, that wasn't easy. It was actually hard usually. But boy, it felt so great that they just went by. I loved what I was doing, and the challenges that came up were the ones I really were excited about solving. And they see, it's not about being easy. It's about being engaged and challenged and learning and growing and contributing.
Yeah, Jay Robinson, the national champion wrestling coach at the University of Minnesota, always used to tell me, once you accept that life is hard, it gets easy. Another way of looking at the same kind of thing. What about when their skill sets, when what they want to do doesn't match with their skill sets? Can most people, if they have a passion, overcome where they don't have natural ability, or do you try to find something that they'll enjoy just as much that they have more ability in?
Well, as I say, you certainly need the ability and the skill set, but as you may know, there's been quite a lot of research, though some controversy in the last couple of years, about whether pretty much we can do pretty much anything we want to do based on this research if we're willing to put in, again, that work, the right kind of practice doing whatever it is that you want to do, whatever skills you want to learn. You might have heard of that 10,000 hours to become an expert in something, that whole idea, which is quite the simplification of what that really means. But still, so I think you can learn the skills you really want to be really good. If you want to be, you know, the number one NBA player or something like that, yeah, that's you better look at your skill set. But if you just want to be a really good, you mentioned before about business manager, or a really good anything, artist, whatever it is, then you can learn that. But sure, let's start out with the skills that you have and what ways you can apply that. Often, the biggest thing to look at is how to transfer those skills to some new area if you want to work in a new area.
Can money alone sustain someone's motivation?
No. Simply put, no. I mean, again, there's lots of research on that. Money helps up to a point to make you happier or to help you feel happy. But after a certain point, that's not enough. And again, what it really seems to sustain people is feeling that they're doing something meaningful. I have so many clients, not coming from college, but from much later in their lives, saying, I enjoy what I'm doing. It was good, but it doesn't feel like I'm making the impact I want to have. I don't feel I'm having the right effect on the world. I feel I'm not using my skills for what I really could use them for. So I think that's what sustains us, that we're doing something that excites us, challenges us, feels meaningful. Rather than the money. Of course, the money is great, and we want to include that in our vision and be working towards that, and it allows us to do other things we love to do. But that alone, no, that's what people usually come to me going, like, I'm making money. It's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, sense of purpose is everything, and that goes beyond careers, right? A sense of purpose is bigger than just your career.
Right, and your vision of your career is part of a larger vision of your life, which can include your family, what kind of travel you want to do, all those kinds of things. it's just that we spend so much of our lives, many of us, in our careers, that that becomes a very central piece of that.
You know, we were on vacation recently, and my wife and I were talking about, you know, we could start a business here, and we could leave Minnesota, and you're just having this kind of fictitious conversation because you know that it's not reality. And then when you stop and you look at each other, you think, you know, actually, you can do that. You can sell your house. You can move out here. You can start a new business. Do you find that a lot of people limit themselves because we just kind of fall into, as I mentioned, creating invisible fences and invisible barriers because we get comfortable and it is what it's supposed to be?
Oh, absolutely. I think we all have blind spots, assumptions we're making about how things are or what we can do or who we are or how other people see us, any of those sorts of things. And we assume it. I don't even remember what it was anymore specifically, but I had one client. It was such a classic case of this and so extreme in how he positively responded to it that he said something about he really wanted to do something. He was very talented. He was in engineering. He was doing a lot of great things, but he wanted to do something a little more broad that I think incorporated art as well as engineering. And then he said some statement about, well, you know, I can't do it because of this, or this is why this is so hard, or it'll never work out. And I just stopped him and said, like, well, let's look at that. Is that really true? And we examined it for just a minute or two, and he was able, to his credit, to be able to say, like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever thought.
Yeah.
That's been holding me up for 15 years.
Absolutely. And you can see how easy it is to get hung up on that because we create it.
Yeah. And he did. And I thought, well, he'll probably sink back into that again if it's been there for 15 years. He came back the next session and said, let's check in on that, make sure that that's not still bothering you, and thinking like, well, maybe that's really, he says, no, I saw through that. That was just really dumb. I just don't know why that held me up for all those years. So we have to put some light on that. Sometimes we need other people. Sometimes we can do it by ourselves. But we need to shine light on our assumptions. So whenever we say we can't do something, let's look at that. And the question really is, how can you achieve the vision? Not what's holding you back from the vision, but how can you achieve it? And that may involve, as you said, hard work or more school or putting it off for a year or making it your second career and having your first career the one giving you the money to do the education. It just depends. But absolutely, we have these blind spots.
Last question. Do you think that there is a subset, you know, as you break down just people, say all the college graduates, that some are destined to succeed because they're committed to succeed and forget the vocation, they're going to find it, they're going to find a sense of purpose, then there's another group that is always just going to kind of get to the point where they get a paycheck every 2 weeks and that's as good as they're going to get, and do you find that it's more not the career they choose but the mindset that they have?
That's a tough one. Yeah, the mindset is that's what we've been talking about a lot, about looking at your limitations and such. The mindset is crucial. Always work with clients around mindset. Even doing simple things like keeping a gratitude journal. I've been doing that with clients for years because I used to teach journal writing as well. But now, again, there's a lot of scientific research showing how powerful that is to just keep you in a mindset of, like, there are opportunities, things are possible. Things can be positive out there. It's not to ignore the negative things, but we need a mindset of possibility, usually optimism, not in every case, but usually optimism. That seems to work better for people. And then they can accomplish at least a lot more or get closer to the field they're in. To me, it's like get on that journey towards what you want to do and be doing things closer to what you want to do. And if you get to exactly what you said you want to do, you want to go on to something else anyways at that point. So the point is just get in that right track or path, if you will, rather than say, well, I don't think I'll ever achieve that, so I'll stay in this other wrong path. It pays me enough, and I'm safe here, so I'll just sit here. That is not going to lead to a sense of meaning or happiness.
Look him up at beardavenue.com. That's Beard, B-E-A-R-D, avenue.com. Leonard Lang, thank you so much for giving us some time, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, Mike, as well. Thanks very much.
You bet. Interesting conversations, some that will be held around the dinner table.